Subtle skills, big results.
Welcome to the Ninja Selling Podcast. Welcome back to another Ninja Coaching Spotlight. So excited to have another person we can interview today. We have an incredible ninja, and I'm going to real quickly reiterate the reason I love doing these podcasts so much, but also doing these interviews, is this allows all of you to get an insight into true, real ninjas around the United States and how they've found Ninja, how they've made it work in their business, and the successes that it's led them to today. And today, we have Melissa Herdman with us, and I'm going to have Matt do a great job of bringing her into this interview because she's incredible, and he knows all the ins and outs about her business. So Matt, jump on in here.
Absolutely. Well, welcome everybody to this. This is great. Melissa, welcome. I've been working with Melissa since 2019. Melissa's with Kirk and Cobb out of Topeka, Kansas, and she's really built an incredible business over the years, and I think is going to really connect with a lot of ninjas out there, particularly those of you who, well, we're going to get into all the things. So you're going to find out all about it. So Melissa, welcome to the podcast. Excited to have you.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Gara's probably going to drive a lot of the questions since you and I work together, but obviously we'll chime in and everything. But before Gara dives in with questions, I'm going to ask one first. Melissa, what would you say is your most favorite thing about Ninja in general since you kind of discovered it? I feel like Ninja found you in a way because you were already living somewhat of a ninja lifestyle, but what would you say is your favorite thing?
I like to do the handwritten notes. I think that that is my favorite part because there's so much negativity, and sometimes that's all you hear about is the negativity. But when you know, people get new jobs, people are going to have babies. I have a set of customers now. They've tried a long time to have a baby. They're going to be having one in March. And it was so nice to just, it's nice to just naturally write them a note and just express how happy you are that, they've achieved a goal.
I love it.
Melissa, real quick, what marketplace are you in and what company are you with? I know you're with Kirk and Cobb Realtors, but give everybody a little bit of a background here real quick on where are you? Because this, as people listen to Ninja, as they grow with Ninja, sometimes we're like, oh, that only works in certain marketplaces. It only works here. It only allows you to do a certain amount of transactions, which we're going to have a whole lot of fun with today. Give us a little background on you, the market. Where can people find you?
Okay. Well, again, I'm Melissa Herdman. I work with Kirk and Cobb Realtors. Kirk and Cobb Realtors is a locally owned family company, full service brokerage. It's been around since 1947. My broker, Steve Kirk, has been a broker for over 50 years, and it's an amazing family-owned company, and we have a branch office now in Osage City, Kansas, which is about 30 miles to the south of here. That's where I grew up. It's their first branch office. I am the branch manager there, and I work all over Northeast Kansas.
And so you got started in real estate back in 2012. Is that what you told me?
Correct.
2012. So you're just starting to figure this whole thing out, right? You're just starting to get comfortable with real estate. And you've seen a lot being in this market since 2012.
Yes. Yes. I come from a healthcare background. I have had some form of nursing license since 1986. I started out when I was a teenager as a nurse's assistant. Worked my way through and ultimately got my master's in nursing as a family nurse practitioner. So real estate is my second career.
What made you say, okay, nursing, now let's go try out this thing called real estate?
Well, believe it or not, Garrett, it's not that much different.
I love it.
I told my old clinic nurse that if she hung around with me for a couple of days, she would think we were just still working in the office. It's listening to people. Maybe the answers to their questions, what they're not out saying. When I was in nursing school, I took a class called therapeutic communication. And Ninja is very similar to those techniques. It's building relationships. It's building trust.
It wasn't long after you got, therapeutic relationships, nursing background, you get into real estate. It wasn't very long after you got into real estate that you found Ninja. Give us a little bit of that kind of intro of when you first kind of found Ninja and started to go, this actually fits in with who I am.
Interestingly enough, I am surrounded by ninjas here that don't even know that they're ninjas. And Terry Cobb, he was one of the brokers here. He left us a few years ago and we still miss him deeply. He was a ninja. He'd gone to installations and he saw me writing notes. If people went to open house, I'd send him a note. You know, I was thanking home inspectors. When you're new in a business, sometimes people won't give you the time of day or they'll put you off. So if the home inspector was nice enough to go to a rural listing and do the home inspection, I sent them a thank you note. And so he brought me the materials because he said, what you're doing is right. Here, here's some framework to add to it.
So your heart was there. It was like, just like, let's give you some, I love that you said, let's just give you some framework.
Yes. And nursing, and as a nurse practitioner, at the time I was practicing, you worked under protocols that were set for you by a physician. So you had books, you had guidelines, you can't cookbook it, but you kind of had rules that you worked within. So Ninja was a natural fit for me. I was making processes and checklists on my own, but then once Ninja entered my life, I didn't have to reinvent the wheel.
I got it. So now as Ninja's entering your life, just to kind of like paint kind of a roadmap here, 2019 is when you really met Matt and said, I'm going to bring Matt in as my coach. Is that correct?
Correct. After several years, I would fill out the stuff for a test drive. And then I would think, oh no, I didn't like coaching before. I'm not going to do that. And then do you want me to explain why I hit send on that test drive in 2019?
Oh, I think we definitely should hear that. Yes.
Well, I was going through a divorce.
Okay.
And when you're a two-income household, it's not as imperative always that business is steady. If you go without closings, you know, life goes on. But I was trying to decide what to do because I had never had to be the sole provider. I had no kids in college, one at home still. I was going to have a house to take care of, being self-employed, private health care insurance, you know, what does this all look like? So I talked to our office manager and said, gee, I really want to do this. However, I'm just not sure what I should do. And she said, can you give it a year? I said, yes, I can give it a year. And that's when I went and filled out the form to do the test drive because I thought I need somebody to guide me. I need somebody to help me listen to my ideas and I wanted to succeed.
Matt, you can probably back me up on this. The amount of times that we've watched when we're coaching somebody, when they're in a situation of like, I'm going to make this work. Like there is no other option here. And I love that your office manager said, can you give this a year to make it happen, to bring it to life? And you all of a sudden went, well, if I'm going to give it a year, I'm going to give it the best shot I can possibly have of making this work.
Exactly.
And it's amazing how many success stories I've heard over the years where they were in a position like that, where it wasn't just like, oh, I can continue kind of being mediocre for a while. Because it's okay if it doesn't work out. It's like, no, we're going to make this work. So kudos to you. That's awesome.
I was a ninja in name only prior to starting coaching.
Well, and I'll say, you know, when we started working together, Melissa, like it not only was, I think, the background of what you just explained as to a catalyst of getting into coaching, but you also wanted to transform your business. You started this business with really no database. And so you invested in online leads, you went through other coaching program prior to finding Ninja, and that didn't really stick with you in terms of the vibe that you were looking for. But you also wanted to start to lean off like buying all these leads as part of it. And I think having the foundation, and this is something that agents and brokers and owners should listen to as well, is having that foundation of a really strong office and ownership behind you and encouraging you was, I think, amazing. And I think that we're going to get into some numbers of the transformation as you really continued to lean into ninja systems, even though you were already doing a lot of them, like handwritten notes and things like that. And also just putting your clients first. I think one of the things that you've always put into your business, even prior to going through an installation, is not getting attached to the outcome, which really allowed you to put your clients first and make sure that they were achieving their goals. And so we were able to build on a great foundation, and it really kind of took off from there, 2019, and all the way through, I mean, even through today. I mean, you're having a great year this year. It was a great year last year. And for everybody who's listening, Melissa, share, because you mentioned Topeka and Osage City, which that was a really fun evolution too, getting that office open. But share like your average price point and the transaction volume, because I think a lot of people will hopefully be encouraged to hear how much deal flow you actually manage by yourself.
We do have a closing officer and we have an MLS coordinator, and our office manager is the best PR person in town. So to be fair, those folks do a lot of the stuff that I don't like to do.
Like transaction coordination and stuff, yeah.
That allows me to spend more time with the buyers and sellers and get to know them and develop relationships there. You know, spend more time maybe helping the seller get their home ready for market. Because even when things were selling with iPhone pictures with featuring dirty underwear on the floor, we were still prepping our listings.
Always a big seller.
But you saw it.
Oh, yeah.
You saw it. I'm sure you've had coaching clients that sent you pictures.
Yep.
We doubled down on our listing prep. We didn't skip steps. We still had the photographer come out. And as a matter of fact, not to toot my own horn, I started staging, because real estate, as with healthcare, is a continuum. And that is going to swing back and forth. And I knew that, you know, this wasn't going to last. And when you had to work to sell a listing, that was, by golly, going to be my time to shine.
Well, and you're doing all this with, I mean, when we started in 2019, your average price point was $120,000.
Yes.
Right. So offering all of those services. Now, I know your average price, it's grown. I mean, appreciation has helped too, and you're well over 200,000. But still, a lot of people think, gosh, you're like, is it worth investing those things into a $150,000, a $200,000, even a $250,000 listing? And obviously, we know the answer is yes. And Melissa, about how many deals per year are you doing now?
Between 90 and 100.
It's pretty impressive.
I wanted to throw this on the table here, because I hope people can follow with us here, because I know you're listening. But so in 2018, before getting a coach, you worked with 39 buyers and 24 sellers. You were doing a lot of transactions and a good business. I mean, you'd figured out how to make this business work for you. From there, you did this nice, steady growth once finding Matt, which I think is absolutely amazing. I'm just going to kind of jump forward here. We're going to go again, 2018, 2019, you found Matt, 25 sellers, 34 buyers. And then we went to 47 buyers and 40 sellers. And if we jump up to last year, 42 buyers and 67 sellers. Everybody who's listening.
Over 100 deals.
67 sellers, 109 transactions in 2022. And I know there's a lot of people listening out there going like, oh yeah, but those are the crazy times. And it was all, okay, 2023, currently right now, we're interviewing you on October 25th of 2023. And you've got 75 closed units sitting here right now as we're talking to you today. Like, you are cranking in business. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Melissa's quite humble. And I will say, like, the definition of a peace person, whenever we think of when they're going through the, like, here's what a power, a party, and a peace, and a perfection. And it's funny, when an instructor at an installation says, you know, what are the professions we find peace people in? And people are like, nursing. And I was like, well, here we go. We have a top quality expert nurse who became a realtor as a peace person and is cranking out a ton of business. And so, Melissa, for you in that progression, And we'll come back to the business generation side of it. But what has kept you grounded in being able to manage all of this deal flow while also continuing to attract more deals to you?
I believe they say that you're the sum total of the five people that you spend the most time with. So what grounds me is those five people.
And who are those people for you?
Well, my kids, my parents. I guess I'm getting more than five. And then, of course, my fiance, who puts up with all kinds of craziness. You know, and I do have good friends that understand that maybe we're going to meet at 7, but I'm going to show a house first. Or we can't leave quite yet because I'm writing an offer.
And you were managing this, too, as a single mom. And obviously, you met your fiance along the journey here, but...
Yeah, actually, I met him at Linden Grade School, but that's a long story. That's a story for another podcast.
Well, yeah, it's a long history of knowing each other, but...
That's awesome.
You had a lot of transitions with your kids and going off to college and all of these things, and you're still managing a high deal flow. I will say one of the things that you were... And coming back to like the beginning of the coaching was you wanted everything to be perfect when we started, right? And that also created some resistance because it was like, okay, how do we get a weekly plan here? It took us 6 months before we even got the weekly agenda in place. And I think part of that was you were looking for perfection. But so tell us a little bit about your journey of, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect. I just need to start doing some things, but I still want to strive for excellence. So tell us a little bit about that kind of growth for you as well.
Well, sometimes you prioritize and notes are important to me. They're a non-negotiable. I get up at 4:15 in the morning. I work out and then I come home to get ready for the day. And I've already done my gratitudes. When I wake up early enough to get ready for workout, I've done my positive readings. I feel great after working out. I jump in the shower, and while my hair is drying, I write my notes. I review my planner. I make sure that what I wanted to prioritize for today is still the same. And sometimes I adjust that, and I'm, you know, ready to do my day. I set time to do my customer service calls. I went to a class one time, they called it dialing for dollars. That's icky. But when you're doing customer service calls, that's pretty easy.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Matt, you brought up this idea that, you know, striving for perfection. And we've watched so many people over the years that are really good ninjas. I mean, literally, like we're talking to one here right now that could have very easily derailed themselves on just the mere fact of trying to be perfect rather than trying to make progress. So Matt, good job to you for helping Melissa through that. Melissa, good job to you to let go a little bit and say, okay, the whole goal of this really is to make connections and to, as you said, you know, write your notes and make your calls and be around people because that's what's gotten you to where you are today. But sometimes it's hard to let go of the perfection side.
Yes.
So well done.
But if you truly care about people, the things that you prioritize, you will get done. And you have to look at it that way.
And I would say, like, you prioritized your routine above everything else. You realize, okay, well, if I really want to make the time for this, you know, being able to manage a household and kids. And by the way, living in the area of Kansas that you live in, it's not, when I think about time, I think about how much time you spend in the car because you drive long distances, right?
Yeah.
You said, well, then I have to wake up early, right? But you also go to bed early. We don't need to get into a whole like routine thing, but you know, people are like, oh gosh, 4:15, that sounds outrageously early. But you also prioritize your evenings, which from a business perspective, you've also become really good at setting expectations with your clients. So tell us a little bit about that too. How has setting expectations with your clients helped you manage a good number of people all at once? Because gosh, working with over, you know, almost 50 buyers in a year, it's like, what if they all want to see homes at the same time, right? So tell us a little bit about your expectation setting.
I think that through Ninja, we have a great process. You know, you can do a buyer and, you know, you can interview your buyers before you take them on. You can interview your sellers before you take them on. And everything is up front. As far as how I do things or how, you know, things go, what is your timeline? And if you're not wanting to close and purchase on a home until next year, then we don't need to go out every weekend and look at what's available now.
And you're really good with holding that line too. A lot of people say, well, but what if they want, and you're very, very clear with your buyers about what you're going to go see, where they are in their pre-approval process and everything too, correct?
Correct. And then with the pandemic, that also allowed, you know, to make sure that you had that in place, because every place had something different. So I'm just going to speak to what I knew at the time. And you could work and show homes to people who needed to be out looking at homes. That meant that there was a, you know, a timeline in place, a proof of funds, or a current pre-approval. And, you know, people got used to that.
That's the best way to do it. You set the expectations and they'll follow along. I think too, part of it was, is you took the time to show them, hey, this is what's going to work. And then your buyers stayed working with you. It's not like they went and found another agent. I mean, just based on your volume.
Yes. There are people that go after the buyer consultation, and that's fine. I just always hope that they learned more about the process of buying a home in Northeast Kansas than what they knew coming in.
I would like to go back just a little bit and touch on this, because over your growth through real estate, you've brought business in through different ways. We haven't touched too much on it here, but in talking to you earlier, purchasing leads has been something that has been part of your background of real estate.
Yes.
And we have a lot of people that come into coaching and looking at Ninja and going like, gosh, do I have to give all that up? Like if I'm going to be, you know, being a true Ninja and implementing Ninja in my world. And as Matt shared with me and you've shared me, you did a great job of using that as a tool to build a foundation for yourself, that now you're at this position where, from what I understand, you do not purchase any leads anymore and your business is pretty much 100% referral for the most part. As you said to me, every once in a while you get that odd, you know, sign call or whatnot that kind of comes in. But tell me a little bit about that process for you, because I know that I always tell people, don't get rid of anything until you're ready to get rid of it. Like if it's a substantial piece of making your business work right now. And I think you did a great job of that. Can you tell us a little bit about that process of the time of building with those leads and then the time to let them go?
Yes. I kept them up until recently, and it was maybe a security blanket. And there are a lot of people who do come in through the portals that desire a relationship. There are also a lot of people who do not. You're going to connect with the ones that desire building a relationship. And sometimes the buyer questions happened on the phone, and you'd meet at the house and you'd build rapport that way. And then as time went on, I'm an evaluator.
It's called triage. You're good at triage.
Yes. That's a good word for it. I didn't want to keep talking healthcare, but yeah, triage. And then it was like, well, I really don't like driving to that area. You know, let's just go ahead. That zip code needs to go. And it was just, you know, systematically, there are just places that, you know, I don't enjoy it. That's too far.
Obviously, it hasn't hurt your business, though. Like this is one of those things that a lot of people have a hard time grasping, is like by saying no to things, you allow yourself to say yes to more things that resonate with the business that you want to build, right?
Yes. And in the very beginning, Matt said something, and I always, I have remembered it as I have evaluated different things. What if you took that money and did something for people every month? And that just made that easier and easier to slice away, because yes, you know, then you can do things for people, you know, or make a donation to a local charity, or, you know, buy school supplies for a teacher's classroom. Or sometimes I do things for people that may not use me for their real estate needs, or, you know, it's helping people. And that feels better than feeding some faceless monster.
And are you comfortable if we share some of those numbers, Melissa?
Sure.
Because when we started, you were spending about $3,500 a month on the online leads. And that, prior to that, I think you said your high was 5,000.
Yes.
And we quickly got you down to 500. That stayed for a little while. And that even helped with an assistant you had for a short while.
Yes.
Which last year, that big year, was when you let go of your assistant as well.
Yeah. I've never done anything the conventional way.
But I think it's bare mentioned because a lot of people get, oh, buying leads isn't a ninja thing. And yes, we always say start with the people you know. But when you don't have a database, you know, meeting people is a whole different thing. And you approach this with, hey, I just want to build these relationships and take care of these people, which allowed them to now stay in your database. And then all of that, those funds got redirected to taking even better care of them as the years went on, which I think has been incredible. But that's a big chunk of money that was reinvested into your database. And, you know, thinking about those numbers and growth, I think that's a big part of it, was that redirecting of funds.
I agree. I should probably clarify, I did have a database when I started. However, people knew me in my previous profession. And when I said I was going to get my real estate license, that this was something I wanted to pursue, you would have thought that I was going to become an astronaut and go to the moon.
That's not the example you used the other day when we talked.
I know. Okay. I know. I saw your smile and I thought, I'm going to throw him a curveball.
It was much more like, what? So keep going. Sorry.
Oh, no. I thought, I'm going to throw Garrett a curveball here. See, I can think fast on my feet once in a while. And, you know, people just, I think they were hoping I would go back to my previous role.
Yeah.
And it took a while to, you know, you trusted me with your healthcare needs. I think I could be trustworthy with your housing needs.
Well, I will say too, when you're going and pursuing the online leads to kind of prove everybody that you could do it.
Oh yeah.
You were exceptional. I will say, like, when we started, most of the experience we see with people in online conversion is abysmal, right? Your conversion rates were through the roof. So much so, I remember you saying you had a call from Zillow where they didn't want you to go because you were doing so well with their conversions.
Yeah.
That you were a great numbers booster for them.
That has changed now because toward the end, I was getting, you know, but part of that was...
Right. The lead quality decreased.
Utilizing the time that I would... Some people don't want to do that. They want the instant gratification. They don't want to answer any questions. And I'm sorry, if your agent is on vacation in Mexico, I'm not going to drop everything and rearrange people who want my services to go show you a home, you know, and then you don't get very many stars.
Yeah. So as you've progressed here and you obviously at one point here said, okay, it's okay to let the security blanket off, lean into your client, your database that you've built over the years here so much. I had asked you when we were kind of getting ready for this, I said, you know, what's been your biggest takeaway, kind of your two biggest takeaways of being with Ninja and which has allowed this business to grow? And I love what you shared with me. Would you mind sharing that?
First of all, is treat people the way that they want to be treated and never become too attached to the outcome. Because if you go after something and you feel desperate or, you know, the inspection report isn't great and the buyer feels like, oh, she spent so much time with us, we just need to go ahead and do it. To be able to truly mean, if this isn't right for you or if this is too much work for you to take on, let's move on. Don't sell to these buyers or don't agree to this because once in a while somebody will say, well, you've put so much work into this one. That's okay. You know, we've got a good foundation. Let's go back on the market. You know, let's regroup. Let's reevaluate. Let's be ready for the real buyer.
You, Melissa, what I love about that so much is I bought and sold a lot of homes in my lifetime so far. I'm going to buy and sell a lot more. And I've been in that position where we've worked really hard to find a house. And there's been time invested in the realtor who I love has put a ton of time and energy into it. And that is an odd factor that you bring in of like, I don't want to put them through this any farther. They've worked so hard for us and whatnot. And at the end of the day, that does build a weird resentment when you actually buy the house and you're like, why did we buy this thing? Like, why did we get ourselves into this situation? And when you have a true trusted advisor that can be detached from the outcome that say, don't make this about me, you guys, like, this is about, like, as you said, don't take on more than you need to take on with this home. I think that's a very comforting place to come from for the client so that you can truly be their trusted advisor and not put them into a bad position potentially. So I love the way you said that.
I tell buyers all the time, I'm not going on your mortgage and I'm not moving in. So you need to do what's best for you.
That's a great way to say it.
I love that. Melissa, thinking of sharing insight for other ninjas as we're going through this dynamic marketplace, I'll call it, and your consistency just seems to be unfeathered. You know, what advice would you have to, you know, ninjas in the marketplace right now thinking about setting up their next year? What would be one or two pieces of specific advice you would give them?
Put some extra thought into your 2024 business plan. Don't just go through the motions. When you're putting pen to paper, be thoughtful, be, you know, specific, be mindful of different things, lean into your people, and don't always buy into what the media, you need to know what the media is telling your customers, but that doesn't mean that you need to pick up that energy.
It's a really good point.
People are going to have life changes and they're going to be buying and selling. Just like in healthcare, in real estate, we are not always working with people when they are at their best. When I met Matt, I was certainly not in my best life. And as we brace for 2024, you know, continue the processes. I'm sure that your phones are blowing up with all kinds of shiny objects and investments and ways to get 5 seller leads a month or whatever. You know, you pay thousands of dollars or maybe you just pay at settlement. Evaluate things because some of these companies are also concerned and they're trying to figure out how to protect their incomes.
Really good point, Melissa. Like, I think that's a really interesting perspective that as these all these opportunities pick up and people start harassing you of what they're going to do to help you be successful, they're trying to protect their businesses too and their business models. It's a really good point.
Lean into your processes, be true to yourself, don't get commission breath, and stay in an abundance mindset. Don't allow, even if the rest of the office is going into some sort of scarcity mode, don't join them.
Such a great point. Melissa, I want to say thank you so much for everything that you shared with us today. Matt, is there anything we're missing that you want to throw on the table here before we wrap up?
I mean, there's so many things we can talk about with Melissa. I think the biggest thing that I love sharing about Melissa is just her, and we've said it multiple times, but her focus on making sure her clients are taken care of. Doing it in a way where she's still managing her own time, setting the appropriate expectations so that she can have the life that she wants, right? I mean, particularly now she has a grandbaby and has been enjoying that and going and seeing her kids at college and being able to do all that while still running a really, really highly successful business here. And I think a lot of that, in my opinion, I mean, obviously I'm biased, is due to her running her ninja systems, but really also having clarity on why she's doing it and following. And as she said, putting that extra time in her business plan, one thing we didn't really talk about is Melissa's very diligent about following her plan too. She looks at that business plan and she sticks to it, which is why there's consistency.
Except for this January when I... Well,
the one time.
Yeah. You have to be ready to pivot. I mean, that's just life.
Yeah. Of course.
Well, and one thing I want to share, and I've had the pleasure of knowing Melissa for a while now, and I will tell you that the heart of a ninja is one of the things that can overcome a lot of other stuff going on. And unfortunately, we all go through life. And I say unfortunately because things happen. You'd mentioned divorce. You'd mentioned other things that you've gone through. And those are not things you wish upon anybody, but it is part of life. And we lose loved ones and other things happen. And at the end of the day, to keep yourself focused, to have a plan of a trajectory in a life that you're building and a place you want to go to. But I really don't want to graze over the heart of a ninja. In my time I've been able to spend with you, the mere fact that we started this whole thing out where you jumping directly into handwritten notes and how much you love handwritten notes, you had the heart of a ninja before you found ninja.
Correct.
And from there, you basically just grown upon it. I just want to say one thank you to you for embracing it the way that you have. And that heart of a ninja will carry you a long way. You're a prime example of it. You've done tremendous in this. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about you continued down the road when it comes to your success with Ninja and the systems and your real estate business. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But I also think that as ninjas, we also need to be willing to help other agents. And I think that that's important. I know we're competitors, but you also need to provide leadership and guidance when you can. And when you see somebody going down a wrong path, you need to be willing to say, hey, let's talk about this. It doesn't seem like the buyer really wants to buy. Can you talk to me about why we're trying to ramrod this through?
I love it.
And Melissa is such a great giver in that way, sharing insight and leadership. A big reason why you're a managing broker of, you know, an office, and you also are just extremely highly respected, not only within Kirk and Cobb, but within Kansas real estate in general. So thank you for being you, Melissa.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Because, you know, Matt gets a lot of credit for this because sometimes...
No, I don't get any credit.
Like I had mentioned to you, Garrett, you know, when you have a ninja coach and he says, okay, before I talk to you next time, you need to hire somebody to clean your house and mow your yard. What are you doing?
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, that was one of my directives one time. I don't want to talk about business. I want to talk about these two things.
It's the little things that sometimes you overlook and we don't realize what's stopping us from being the best we can be. And it's like, why are you still choosing to go out and mow your grass every single week?
Period. It wasn't every single week. It's 6 acres.
Okay, that's a whole nother story we got to get into at some point in time. That's not mowing your grass. That's mowing the field is what that is.
I was about to say, the time spent mowing property, harvesting.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, I want to say thank you to you. Matt, thank you to you also. You have built an incredible relationship here with Melissa over these years. You've mentioned, you know, all of your successes so many times with me. And it's just so cool to watch how these relationships build with a coach and a ninja out there. So to all of you that listen, thank you for participating with us today. If you have questions, comments, please leave them below. And again, thanks to everybody who listened. Melissa, thank you. You're an amazing ninja and keep it going, okay?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Garrett.
Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Garrett. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Catch you on the next one.
If you enjoyed today's episode and would like more, visit us at theninjasellingpodcast.com.
There you will also find links for more information about ninja selling and coaching. Have an incredible day.